This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dusty Wentz. He is the CEO at Knowledge Consulting Group. Maybe some listeners know the company as KCG. And today we're going to talk about FedRAMP and FISMA and moving to the cloud and how to safely move to the cloud and some best practices and maybe some of the consulting services that KCG can provide for my listeners. But before we begin, I always give the tough questions at the top of the hour here. Dusty, tell us about your background, and I think you're from California. You wound up working in this area, working with security companies. How did you ever do that?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about myself. You know, I live in Loudoun County. I got a beautiful wife. We just actually celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary last night. She told me that's quite an accomplishment for her.
So, easy for you, hard
easy
for her.
For me, right? And no doubt about it. I have a daughter and two sons. So I have a daughter and son who both attend George Mason University, and I have a youngest who is a junior at Loudoun Valley. You know, a little bit of how I started. I moved from California back in 1982 back into this area. I was actually born in Virginia, but I started my career in 1984 at EDS. That's even when Ross Perot was still the CEO of that company. I started as a networking engineer working in the Pentagon. In 1994, I'd left EDS, co-founded a company called Business Impact Systems, IT service provider to the government. We sold that company in 1999 to a company in Colorado called Cyber, not to be confused with cybersecurity. They did something completely different. And then on April Fool's Day of 2000, I started Knowledge Consulting Group, and we've been growing that company ever since.
Wow. Nice little thumbnail sketch there. And what Knowledge Consulting Group focuses is on cybersecurity for federal projects. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Here's a fun fact, and maybe some listeners know this and some listeners don't, but if you read Federal Computer Week, there's a issue came out on June 7th. They did a survey, and 50% of federal employees have no idea what FedRAMP is. I mean, does that surprise you? I mean, FedRAMP, everyone in this station knows about it, but a lot of people don't.
And certainly we know about it, but it doesn't surprise me. It's a situation where the government is grappling with how to standardize how they secure the cloud. And GSA has come up with FedRAMP, and that is a methodology, ability to put out independent assessments of these cloud service providers. And those are called 3PAOs, or third-party assessment organizations. FedRAMP awarded the first nine. We were one of the first nine chosen to be one of those certifiers. And what we do is we independently assess these cloud service providers, or they're commonly known as CSPs, and we assess them in managing the government's, how they manage the government's data and systems. So we do this by making sure that they're meeting international standards, ISO standards, FISMA standards, and NIST standards in the way they secure the government's data and their systems.
So what we have here, for maybe paint the picture for the people in the gas stations listening or driving around in your car, big event in September of 2001, some security concerns get voiced, and all of a sudden people start looking at security for individual projects. Here in the last few years, people are running out of money, and so they're trying to do it cheap, and they're trying to figure out how to save money. They look at duplicating services, and I think that's what FedRAMP tries to do. It tries to save money by trying to eliminate some duplicate compliance services for security. That's probably a good thumbnail sketch of it, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And if you consider the fact that the government has a mandate to evaluate or move to the cloud, share these services, when you look at what happens currently today before FedRAMP, is that people that were using cloud services, agencies were constantly having to have that application certified to make sure it met FISM requirements. But what FedRAMP has done is they've created a standard methodology, a standard way to do this. Therefore, they can use that same ability to operate, the authority to proceed, or the authority to operate many times over.
So if the Department of Labor wants an application for accounting, they'd have to get it approved. And then Interior would have to get one approved. And then Energy would have to get one approved. Well, this way it says, why duplicate all this, you know, compliance for security regulations if we can go to GSA and say, no, it's already been approved there. We know that it's safe and we can go use it. And that's the idea behind eliminating the duplication.
Oh, not only that, it saves the government money. The government agency would be paying for all this certification, all the duplication of the certification efforts. What FedRAMP has done is it pushed the cost out to the CSP. The cloud service provider must pay for that certification.
That's a good way to go. That's got like have the other person pay for it. You know, there was a fellow named Vivek Kundra who sat in that chair a month ago, and he's the one that came up with 25 points, and then we had Anish come in, and everyone's kind of pushing towards this cloud and pushing and pushing and pushing. It's a very noble goal. However, what about security? I think this is a practical response to a very elusive goal, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and it's absolutely necessary that people feel comfortable that their information is secure, their data is secure, and the systems that hold this very valuable information are secure, but all in the same ways, and that's what FedRAMP does.
So what's interesting is that the 9 organizations were approved, and one of them was a federal organization, wasn't it? It was an agency that got in that list. Is that right?
I did see that. I think it was the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Did you understand that?
These departments had developed, they're called ISSLOB. So they're
line of business, yeah.
Line of business, right. And it's information security line of business. So they have a certain expertise. So I think Department of Transportation, maybe within FAA, is designated as one of those ISSLOBs. So they wanted to be able to provide this service to other parts of the government.
So my name is John Gilroy. If I have a Gilroy software, what I would do is I'd call up Knowledge Consulting Group and say, I have this package. I want you to approve it to be used as a cloud application. You would take and approve it, and you'd put your stamp of approval on it, and then I could go to Interior and Energy and Transportation and say, well, I would like to be a person that applies accounting services to you. So that's in fact what your company does, is you look at vendors, individual companies, and approve them to be able to compete for business for the federal government.
Specifically for cloud service providers, mm-hmm. Does that application may reside on their cloud? So we're actually certifying that the cloud is secure so that many applications can sit on that same cloud in a secure manner. So that's absolutely what we would do through FedRAMP.
There's a funny TV commercial talks about set it and forget it. And once you take a look at an application and you approve it, that doesn't mean you walk away for 20 years. I mean, there's a continuous process involved, isn't there?
There is. After you get the authority to operate, there is a continuing monitoring piece that will take place after that. And we're still waiting for direction from GSA and FedRAMP on exactly what that is. But at a minimum, we would, in the case of KCG, we would monitor and reassess these systems at least on an annual basis.
Or more often than that.
Or more often, correct.
U.S. CERT says there's 43,000 attacks on agencies in the last year, all kinds of attacks taking place right now. What about security? I mean, this is one of the big motivators behind people getting approved. Is this the prime motivator, or is it saving money or reducing duplication, or is it all in one package? Dusty, what do you think is the big motivator here?
Well, I think the biggest motivator is security itself. Feeling comfortable that your information is protected, that the systems are protected themselves. Those are very important assets. Information is probably the most important asset that our government has, particularly as pertains to the citizen. But I think right behind that is saving money. And, you know, we're in a time of budget cuts. We're in time to find better ways for the government to do business. And I think this is a great step that GSA has taken.
So what your company does, it does security assessment services, it does penetration testing, and risk analysis and reporting. Now, risk analysis, whenever I talk about risk management, I think about financial risk. I mean, I don't know if that, risk management, if you Google, you probably come up with more financial things, but risk management is an essential part of cybersecurity as well, isn't it?
It certainly is. You know, the thing about our company is we find ourselves in this unique position of being known as perhaps the largest pure play cybersecurity firm in the market. And we have over 250 people that concentrate on just those types of services, whether it's being, you know, governance, risk set, understanding the risk profile, being able to do secure operations, help them be compliant with FISMA. We do all this work, and it's centered on these agencies' cybersecurity programs. And then just last year, we started another group called the Cyber Attack and Penetration Division, which is a high-end group of people that do high-end penetration testing.
Sounds like scary stuff to me. Let's take a break. We'll talk more about computer security. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dusty Wentz. He is the CEO of a company called Knowledge Consulting Group. Most people know them as KCG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dusty Wentz. He's the CEO at a company called Knowledge Consulting Group. The acronym is KCG. For more information, you can go to knowledgecg.com. We're talking about security and FedRAMP. And many listeners know, some listeners don't. What's happened in the security community here is recently, the GSA has come up with a program called FedRAMP, and it has approved 9 organizations to become auditing bodies for organizations, let's say, like yours or mine, that wants an application approved to work in the cloud securely for the federal government. And my question to you, Dusty, is a question that many people are listening, scratching their heads, going, well, why you? Why KCG? I mean, how did you do it? I mean, you obviously compete with other folks. You're in the first batch, so it's like the first-round draft choice of the NFL. I mean, you're in the top 10. You're in the first-round draft choice. Why you? Do you have a good time in the 40 or something? What do you got?
Well, you know, it's our company, I think I mentioned it earlier, we're known as a pure play. And what I mean by pure play cyber company is that's all we do. So we have 250 people, approximately cyber professionals certified and credentialed. And we focus only on providing cyber solutions and services to our clients. I think that's one thing that makes us look a little larger than the average company. I think you look at a lot of larger system integrators around the marketplace, and they all say they do cybersecurity, but we really do what we say.
So you don't do SharePoint, you don't do agile software development, you're not a consultant for Red Hat.
We do not.
Give you the whole long list.
Absolutely. You know, that was scary coming from, you know, I started my career at EDS, so used to doing many things for many customers, solving almost any IT problem they had. Back in 2003, the company was merely 3 years old. We decided at that time to focus only on cybersecurity. At that time, people called it information assurance, network security. We decided to focus only on that. And I'll be honest with you, it was a bit scary for me.
Because you initially go down. The curve goes down. I know.
No longer a mile wide, now we're an inch wide.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, we're about 10 miles deep when it comes to cybersecurity. And I think that helped us in gaining approval from FedRAMP.
I was at an event the other night and met a guy from McKinsey, and they do everything. I think they wash windows, they detail cars, they do Windows security, they do everything. I think that may be a reason why the GSA looked at you and vetted you and put you in as a first-round draft choice to be one of the first GSA-approved auditing bodies. Okay, so let's say Gilroy Systems here has an accounting product, and I go up to you and I go, I want the imprimatur, I want the logo, how do I get it? And you take and you look at my application, you make sure it's secure. Well, then what, is there a process after that, or does it take 4 to 6 months, or does someone else have to put their stamp on it, or what's the logic here? How does it work?
Well, actually, what the cloud service provider should do is go to the FedRAMP website.
Mm-hmm.
On that, take a look at FedRAMP's CONOPS, or concept of operations, to gain a better understanding of what the FedRAMP requirements are. And the next thing you should do for your cloud service provider is you should evaluate your current cybersecurity state against what FedRAMP has, they have process templates out there. So you can assess how you match against those process templates. And that will help you determine your readiness for a third-party assessment organization, a 3PAO, to come in and start the assessment.
It's like preparing for the SAT. It's a test pass before you go in and take the test, huh?
Absolutely. And 3PAOs can help you in that assessment. There's two sides to FedRAMP. if a 3PO helps you become ready, they cannot be the 3PO who does certification. So you would have to select yet another one.
It's like an auditor and accountant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. So I just want to clear up some of these acronyms. Some of the listeners know and some don't know. KCG is Knowledge Consulting Group, and 3PAO is a third-party assessment organization. And KCG was just announced as one of the top 10 draft choices, actually top 9 draft choices from the GSA, to work with organizations to either help them get secure or actually do the accreditation for that. So how long does this process usually take? I know it's just started. There's no way to know. Is it 6 months? How long would it normally take to get something approved?
You know, we've done this for commercial companies who were actually working with other government agencies prior to FedRAMP. And in our experience, it can take anywhere from 30 to 90 days.
And are these the big general classifications would be software as a service, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service? Are these the big general categories?
Yes, absolutely.
And so if I'm a vendor of an application, I wouldn't worry about platform infrastructure. I'd have to knock on your door and say, "Well, look, I want to get this approved, or I've done the warm up and the tests, and I think I'm almost ready." And you could take and approve it. Then I'd have to pay you a fee to get approved, which is the finance model where instead of the federal government paying for one of their programs to be certified, the third party organization has to pay. So it reduces duplication, saves government money. Two steps right there.
Incredible move on the government's side, and I hope we see more of this on other parts of federal government.
Yeah, I see in other accreditation areas for the federal government, you know, they accredit paint on toys that don't have lead in it. And what they're trying to do is take that accreditation process and transfer the burden or onus transfer to the organizations rather than the federal government. It only makes sense. I mean,
it does make sense. And it cuts out the duplication. And they're paying over and over and over
crazy.
The same service, right?
You know, when I live in the state of Virginia, I pay to get my car inspected. Would it be crazy to have the state of Virginia pay to get my car inspected? I mean, it just they had things reversed, didn't they?
Well, and think about it. Then you change a part in the engine. And
yeah.
You have to have it recertified.
Then
you change your tires, and you have to have it recertified. And that is essentially what happens in federal IT.
And it happened with 40 or 50 stovepipes of organizations with that same – it was a crazy
system.
Now, you got to realize that if you look at 10, 15 years how this has evolved, it made a whole lot of sense. I think in the Bush administration, they were looking at the bottom line. They wanted efficiency. So you look at a stovepipe application, it was very, very efficient. Well, what about, you know, working in coordination with others? Interoperability, it doesn't quite work exactly that way. Washington Post had an article a couple weeks back, and it talked about small providers may have a hard time getting through this whole accreditation process. You have any thoughts on that?
You know, we've seen a lot of interest within minutes of being announced as one
minutes.
Of the minutes. and that is literally minutes after the announcement, our phone started ringing. And they were from various types of companies. A lot of them are companies that are already providing some type of hosting or cloud service to the government right now. And they're trying to get ahead of the curve. And others were amazingly smaller companies entering the cloud service providing market or in the federal market. And so I'm not sure I agree that they're going to have a tougher time. Being that they're smaller, more nimble, like I believe our company is, they may have a higher level of expertise.
Yeah. If you have 250 people and you think you're a small company, the company in the Washington Post is called CloudTrack. They have 8 people.
Yes.
I mean, if you only have 8 people, I mean, that limits some of your flexibility with some, you know, just performing some of the tasks and moving up to speed. And is that good or bad? I think that's a whole separate question we can answer. Is it good or bad that it's small or big or flexible or not flexible, or what is a small company? I don't, you know, not about to go that. There is something your organization provides called CAPD, capped. Sounds like a gangster term. You know, he was capped out there. So what is CAPD anyway? It's KCG's Cyber Attack and Penetration Division. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. CAPD was a group that we started almost a year ago, and it's a way to provide high-end and highly sophisticated assessment services not only to federal agencies, but to private sector companies as well. Our private sector group is one of our fastest growing parts of the company today. And it's mostly through these CAPD type services. You know, this capability provides for those cloud service providers, or those CSPs that we're working with, the assurance that they're getting the highest level of cyber expertise available. It's not the same from all the other 3PAOs. It also gives FedRAMP, the organization itself, the assurance that the assessment was done in, at the highest level itself.
You know, my experience has been is that a lot of federal IT professionals have respect for companies that have been in the commercial world and fought the battles and are successful, and they can take some of those lessons learned and apply them when they want to have a penetration test done or some type of risk analysis done as well.
I think in our case, it's the opposite. The commercial companies are respecting what we've done.
What
for
a
the
switch
federal
there,
government.
Huh?
Right. And they're wanting to take advantage of the services. You know, many times the federal government does lead the information technology market, and in securing systems, I believe this is one of those cases.
Well, that's great. My listeners would like to hear that. Let's take a quick break. We come back, talk more about risk management framework, BPA, and talk about your company, KCG. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Dusty Wintz, CEO at Knowledge Consulting Group. Most folks know it as KCG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Dusty Wintz. He is the CEO at a company called Knowledge Consulting Group. Most folks in town know it as KCG. They work in the area of cybersecurity. In the first couple parts of the show, we talked about FedRAMP and all kinds of odds and ends. And my listeners like the information on tweets. I like to read blogs and white papers. And I'll be writing about this on my blog at the Armature Corporation. You can type in my name, John Gilroy blog, and find my stuff pretty easily. And you can go to knowledgecg.com, and there's a blog there. What's the name of the blog there?
It's called The Trusted Advisor.
The Trusted Advisor. Isn't that an appropriate name? The Trusted Advisor.
It's always been our goal to become the government's Trusted Advisor, specifically for cybersecurity. Yeah. And that's why you see us on FedRAMP and various other cyber contracts for the federal government.
Risk management is one of the issues that FedRAMP was attempting to address. I think it did address it. And so about 2 years ago, I looked up risk management, and there's an organization, Risk Management, in Arlington County, and they're all finance managers. They're all CFOs, all finance managers. And I keep thinking of risk management, finance, and FedRAMP risk management. No, it's got to do with cybersecurity. However, there's a risk management framework that came out, and I think you just won a task order under that. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We did. GSA, we were one of, I believe it was 15 companies that were awarded a blanket purchase agreement under GSA RMF or risk management framework. And risk management framework has, you know, they've tasked us. We actually won the very first task order. So not only were we first of nine in FedRAMP, we won the first GSA RMF task order. And that's what we're going to do for GSA is conduct many security assessments along with some penetration testing on a lot of their systems. That's all I'm allowed to say at this point. But it's a great contract for us.
That's the danger when I have cybersecurity companies on the air. What agencies do you work with? Well, a lot of them. I had the folks on the NSA on the air, and they were so scared to say, you know, the guy met me in the hall with a recorder, and everything I said was recorded, but I didn't get arrested, so it must have been a pretty good interview. I think that's the little dance you have to play with talking about cybersecurity, but I think the listeners can read between the lines. If they want more information, they can go to your website, they can type in your name and find this interview and listen to it again and find out more about the risk management framework that you're taking part of. So this is a pretty good position you've been in. At least you've convinced one agency that you know a little bit about cybersecurity. Yeah, the GSA must have confidence in you. Is that right, Dusty?
I believe they do. And you know, it provides us the opportunity to get a better perspective, a deeper look into what GSA is expecting from their security assessments. So that actually helps FedRAMP as well. They tie together. I think the way I would look at these two contracts are FedRAMP is used, you know, the CSPs, those commercial companies, cloud providers, can use FedRAMP to become certified. The agencies can use GSA RMF to do the same.
Makes sense. One of the criticisms of earlier FISMA regulations was that they were set in stone and it's too dynamic environment and we need more continuous monitoring. And I hear that coming up again and again and again. And I think this is one of the changes in some of the standards that NIST is promulgating up there in Gaithersburg, continuous monitoring, kind of a key requirement these days. What about continuous monitoring in agencies, and how can your organization help an agency out there who's scratching their heads, getting pushed to go to the cloud, but they're worried about security, they worry about being continuously monitored? What can you folks do to help them?
Well, we can help them sift through the requirements and what's actually needed. We help them understand what their risk profile looks like, and we can help them become certified and then start moving to continuous monitoring methodologies, even as we wait for direction from NIST and GSA itself.
So if I try to get certified by your organization, try to get the logo on my website, and I think this is the whole idea, is that all of a sudden Gilroy Software, if it even existed, I can go to you and I can get accredited and I can put that logo on my website, and then when a federal agency comes to me, they'll say, oh, we can trust this company, it's a trust advisor, we can trust this company because it's trusted by something else. It's the whole way that encryption works on the internet. It's trusted.
It's all about trust. Absolutely.
So if we look at continuous monitoring, we look at move to the cloud, what do you think the biggest challenges are for contractors in protecting their information in cyberspace? Is it mobile? Is it this move to the cloud? Is it regulations changing? What do you think, Dusty?
We believe it's the threat. So the threat never stops. It's always evolving. I think that's the most difficult challenge, is keeping up with the evolution of the threat landscape. And then proactively defending systems and information assets against those threats. We build sustainable, you have to build a sustainable and a mature risk management program. It's an entire program from top to bottom. And it becomes, therefore it'll become the backstop for any agency or contractor providing services in defending itself or its clients from cyber attacks. But that's the biggest part.
So let's say a cloud service provider is listening to this interview when it's 40 degrees in December, and they read this thing called ATO, which is authority to operate. So a cloud service provider can take and get certified, and they can have the authority to operate within a framework. Is that right, Dusty?
That's absolutely right. And the advantage of FedRAMP is that you do it once, and then you have the authority to operate. It doesn't have to change every time an application changes. The service has been certified. And then you step into the continuous monitoring part, and we just reassess at least annually. And they're able to use that. One time, use many.
In the university world, in order to be accredited, they send out a group of people to a university, and they look at their engineering program at Virginia Tech, and they go, yep, it's accredited. And the folks in Baltimore who do that are called ABET, A-B-E-T. So how would someone, would you send out physically a group of people to go to a company in Philadelphia and look at them? Or how does this whole accreditation process work?
Typically, I think that would happen. We would send out at least some of our consultants to take a look.
Are they called evaluators, or what are they called?
We call them cybersecurity engineers, mm-hmm. is what we call them. And they would absolutely work there and work remotely as well.
Would part of this approval be a penetration test?
It could be. It depends on the security controls that we're evaluating, but absolutely could be. And it could be based on the level of sophistication that the cloud service provider, whatever they're providing to their clients, it may require that.
So the company in the Washington Post, CloudTrack, 8 people, that may be an expensive proposition for a small company like that, and maybe that's the reason why he's feeling that he can't get in the business. Would that cost $20,000? I mean, what would something like that cost? Is there a range involved there, depending on the size of the company or the complexity of the application?
Yeah, I think it's too early to tell right now. We're just in the first throes of responding to several CSPs right now and trying to figure out the level of complexity and actually what needs to be done. So I would be hesitant to put a number on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we know CloudTrack. They're a great company. They're very smart individuals. So I think they could get through it.
Yeah, so he's probably one of the guys who could get through it, but they interviewed him for the story. I didn't know CloudTrack begins with a K. I don't know much about that company at all. 250 people at KCG. How many people are involved in security? How many people are involved in... Well, I was going to ask you about development. You don't do any software at all. That's what you do. You do security.
We do security, absolutely. We will help tune different cybersecurity solutions to meet a customer's requirement, but we do not develop any software per se. We're implementers. We're enablers. We're trusted advisors to the government. And that's been our focus.
So you would work with a company like Symantec or a company like NetApp or any maybe Cisco and be able to evaluate them and inform an agency that, yes, this product from company XYZ would be appropriate or not appropriate to achieve this security objective.
Well, I think more to the point, let's just say if Symantec was offering a cloud services, we would do that,
yeah.
Right? Not necessarily an individual product that they have, but in a cloud services. When you put products together in an enterprise, that's when the government would use something like GSA, RMF to certify their system.
Makes sense. We come back, we'll talk more about your technical background, find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Dusty Wentz, CEO at a company called Knowledge Consulting Group, or KCG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Dusty Wentz, CEO at Knowledge Consulting Group, or KCG for the Cognoscenti out there, the people who know them. If you'd like to get more information, you can go to knowledgecg.com. They have a blog there. I'm sure they have white papers. Every one of my listeners wants to get information in a different way, so we're providing all kinds of information. One way is Twitter. If you want to get information on Twitter, you can follow me at Ray Gilray. And if you want to follow Dusty, it's at Dusty Wince, W-I-N-C-E. And your company has a Twitter handle. Is that right, Dusty?
We do. It's at KnowledgeCG.
Great. You can follow those and tweet all day and all night. 3PAO, we've been talking about this third-party assessment organization. You were one of the top nine draft choices chosen to certify cloud providers that they comply with the federal requirements, and this involves conforming to dozens of different security controls and continuous monitoring. We've talked about a lot of different things, odds and ends here, and there are some people who may or may not consider you to be a nerd. What we're going to do, Dusty, is give you the official nerdology test
okay.
to see where you stand. So we'll see exactly what your rating is. 10 questions. First question, what was the year you bought your first computer?
1989.
89. Well, that's reasonable. Year your first cell phone?
1994. Flip phone. Motorola.
Motorola. Okay. And you do have a Twitter feed.
I do.
Do you have your own blog?
I do not have my own blog. Mm. And my Twitter is only 1 month old. So yeah. Bear with me.
That's
looking
true.
For more followers.
80% of people can say that, you know. Do you use any online personal backup services?
You know, as my personal backup, I use a cloud service provider called SugarSync.
Well,
that's
the right answer. You send them an invoice for that pitch. That was a convincing statement, I'll tell you that much. What kind of smartphone do you have?
It's an Apple.
Okay. And number of apps on that?
11.
11.
Yeah, I know.
What kind of tablet device you have?
An iPad.
An iPad. And social networking sites you participate in?
You know, other than Twitter, it's just LinkedIn.
Okay, that's me too. And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
It was paper because I could not download it yet electronically. Otherwise, it would have been. And it was actually Get Off the Bench by Sid Fuchs.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, my wife last night was reading both. She had a Nook going, she had another book going, and go from one couch to the other and back and forth, so she couldn't be able to answer that accurately. I'll run this through my Sperry UNIVAC computer in my basement and print out on green bar. I use my impact printer and print on a report to see what kind of a nerd you actually are. Jumping from nerdology to, I guess, prognostication. Geez, I mean, no one would have predicted the proliferation of mobile devices. I mean, 5 years ago when I was doing the show, I never asked anyone what kind of tablet computer they had. They would have thrown a chair at me or something. It's awful hard to predict what's going to happen. But I think it's obvious that your company has been successful, and it's grown to 250 people in a very vicious environment. You have competitors out there that are coming after you. You've got people in Russia and China. I'll name names that are coming after the federal government. And you've been able to put yourself right in front of this and deflect some of that or eliminate some of that. So you must have been able to predict something. I want to have your prediction here for the cloud and the federal government security in the next few years. Some people are predicting a digital Pearl Harbor. Some aren't. What do you think is going to happen in general? Just roll with this one, Dusty. You've been there.
Well, you know, as far as it goes to cloud, that's the buzzword of the day, I think. And I think adoption will take still some time. It's an upward curve. But once it happens, and I think it will happen within the next 5 years, you'll see a pretty massive move to cloud services. I think there are two types of clouds in the government. There's those who will use public clouds. Those, I don't want to call them non-mission critical, but it's data that could be put out on a public cloud, and once secured and they feel vetted by FedRAMP, everyone feels good that the data is okay. But then there are those agencies that we all know, the three-letter type agencies, that are not going to put information on the cloud. So what I think you'll see is the evolution of private clouds within the government, within certain groups of the government that need to share important mission-critical data.
And my guess is because just the amount of data. I mean, in January, I used the word petabyte on the air for the first time in years. And now, this is getting bigger and bigger. And I just think one of the advantages of the cloud is the ability to handle this huge amount of information. The trending phrase, of course, is big data. I don't want to use big data. I want to use gobs and gobs of data. But big data seems to capture that. And I think that is one, I think, capability of the cloud that people may or may not realize. This allows you to scale, to handle large amounts of information that are coming in.
And absolutely allows you to take advantage of all that data, to analyze it, and to make it useful and purposeful for the citizens.
Now, obviously, there's some organizations like NASA. They can release information to citizens that, hey, that's fine. You know, I mean, look at our friend Todd Park. He's working with HHS, and they're trying to liberate data so third-party companies can take advantage of it and try to work with it, much like they did with map information. But I think you hit the nail on the head. There's some organizations that just don't want to reveal information because of security concerns, and they may move to a private cloud. Same type of strictures, same type of security considerations for a private cloud, or they change?
I think they're similar. It's just in who owns the infrastructure and how it's monitored and kept. But it's the same. It's the same requirement.
Redundant activities. We talked about that in the first block. The report I read sent that $300 million was saved in eliminating duplication of what they call CNA certification accreditation services. And this is essentially what FedRAMP, to circle back to FedRAMP, what FedRAMP is all about, trying to eliminate that duplicate activities. You think $300 million is, I think it's probably a low number is what I think.
I think it probably is a low number. It's I'm not sure how they accounted for all of them. I would think it's much higher than that. And I do think this is FedRAMP is taking that step to eliminate a lot of the costs. And then as NIST moves to continuous monitoring, it will reduce much of the certification accreditation costs that goes on today, which is labor intensive, paper exercise.
I was out at NIST in April, and it's a small campus full of PhDs, and they're plenty smart. But I think they're smart enough to know that they can't do this alone. And so they coordinate with another group of smart people a few miles from here, DHS. I mean, there's plenty of, and by the way, there's some smart people in the Pentagon too. I mean, they don't right. have a proprietary limit to smart people. And so I think what's happening is finally they're talking to each other and trying to figure this out. So you get people at NIST and GSA and DOD, and they look at this authorization, the certification, whatever you want to call it, accreditation, and they give the final stamp on it, and they say, yeah, we've all three of us looked at it, and it's good enough for us. It's good enough to run. So I think it's a breakthrough just in and of itself.
I do too. And then when you see the cost savings from FedRAMP of pushing the cost to the provider itself is even a better step.
I always wondered about the egos involved. Nothing personal, but I've had some generals in the studio. They're pretty strong-willed individuals, you know, and I'm sure the people over there are strong-willed too because they're used to being in fights. And the DHS certainly isn't going to back down from anyone. And I know some people at NIST who'd argue all day Sunday just for fun. and you get those three people together, and it's got to be an interesting conversation. Have you ever worked with all three in the same, put them in the same room?
Not in the same room. Not until I saw FedRAMP. I've never seen it done before, but it's a great step.
Yeah, and I think that really is an accomplishment. I think maybe an outsider from Colorado, Ohio is going to look in and say, well, geez, it took you guys years and years to do something like this. On the other hand, if you understand some of the limitations, some of the, we talked about healthcare IT in the break. There are some specific limitations with healthcare IT that regular commercial companies would never even have to consider.
That's right.
Do you think the area of healthcare IT is going to be somewhere where security is going to be more important here in the future?
Given the criticality of that data, the personal nature of that data, without a doubt.
Hmm. We have had people in the studio who have said there's going to be a digital Pearl Harbor. It could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be 2 years. I guess I'm not that pessimistic. I think that the federal government will muddle through and figure this out. I'll put you on the spot here. You think that's going to happen? You think something that drastic is going to finally slap someone on the side of the head and they're going to have to say, okay, we're going to have to get serious about this?
You know, those situations are always difficult to predict. While I do believe there are still many vulnerabilities out there, there's still a lot of work to do. I believe in what my company and other companies just like mine have done, and I believe in what the federal government's doing in the direction they're moving. You know, you can never say never, but my bet on it is that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's my bet, too. I've met enough people in the federal government to know that there's a lot of talent out there. And I think there's a big untapped talent pool. And maybe organizations like this, if you can transfer some of the expense to the cloud service providers themselves rather than the agency, can free them up to be creative and dynamic. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Dusty Wintz, CEO at Knowledge Consulting Group, and you can call them KCG. For more information, knowledgecg.com.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.